Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters. The Boilermaker success in the FIBA U19 World Championships could be a precursor to a big season at Purdue. We'll discuss that, a basketball commitment, a football decommitment, and much more here in the middle of July on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters along with Brian Newbert, the well-traveled Mr. Newbert, Tom Dienhart, buying a couple of minutes to talk football. Let's start with hoops, though. Brian, first of all, glad you made it back safely from Alabama in the middle of the night last night. I saw you were a witness to a decent accident there, unfortunately. In Boone County, which is always the home of interstate accidents, it seems like.
Yeah, that was really bad. I don't think I've ever driven past a worse-looking accident scene than that last night. I mean, I understand that. I'm sure there were injuries and most likely worse. I haven't seen any reports on it, but, man, that was one of those deals you drive past and you just don't want to drive anymore. You just want to get off the highway and sit there and, I mean, it was awful. It was a pile of trucks, and as I approached it, it looked like there was like an actual building in the middle of the highway over there because they were stacked up so high. It was
pretty crazy,
pretty horrible.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into a little bit of basketball. It was a good weekend, to say the least, for Boilermakers with Jaden Ivey and Caleb First winning gold, Zach Edey winning bronze for their teams, the USA and Canada, respectively. I mean, I'll say this for myself. I don't know that I've been more hyped for a basketball season than going into this one. You know, even though over the last couple of decades, Purdue has had some pretty good teams that you've been pretty excited about. But, man, it's probably in part because of this last week. But you've got a team that's pretty good, and guys, I think that this last week showed can step into, you know, sort of lead roles that A, Purdue needed them to, and B, just good to see that they're able to do so.
Yeah, you know, Purdue's got a lot of pieces in place here. Now they've got major questions here. This year, they got to get better defensively. They have to shoot the ball better. I think they need a little bit more from their guard play. But they've got some dudes on this team, as you're well aware. You know, I think this under-19 event served notice on Jaden Ivey and Zach Edey, especially showed you that Caleb First is more than ready to come and help them right away, at least from ability perspective and all that stuff. Obviously, he still has to learn how things work at Purdue, systematic stuff and all of that. But I thought Jaden Ivey had established himself late last season as kind of a budding star for Purdue, but this was kind of Zach Edey's breakout. And, you know, depending on how you categorize Trace Jackson Davis and some other guys around the Big Ten, it looks to me like you could make a case that Purdue might have the two best centers in the Big Ten next year. I'm forgetting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting somebody who's pretty good.
Hunter Dickinson. Hunter.
Okay. They've got the second, third best centers in the Big Ten. I mean, Purdue's just got a lot of things going for it from a personnel perspective here. And, but also as I wrote my column this morning, potentially a bit of a narrow window here because, you know what? You know who watches these under-19 events? Probably more than fans do, NBA people. And if you watch Zach Edey play, if you watch Zach Edey rebound especially, you know, they're taking notice of this stuff. And, you know, I think it's fairly evident that Jaden Ivey's probably not a full-term player at Purdue. And I think you're sitting here looking at the distinct possibility that Zach Edey's not either. So, you know, this is, as I termed it this morning in my column, this could be a silver bullet type of season for Purdue, where kind of a now or never sort of deal. And, you know, that's, you know, relatively uncommon when, at least at Purdue, when you're dealing with sophomores, because at Purdue, when your best players are young players, they're typically guys you have for 3 or 4 years. But obviously, you know, Caleb Swanee a couple of years ago was a 2-year guy. I think, you know, Purdue's in a position here where, you know, some guys are going to have decisions to make sooner rather than later. So that really puts the onus on this season. Not that Purdue wasn't going to come out with urgency this season anyway, but I'm just saying from an opportunity perspective, you know, this group they have together right now, time might be fleeting.
Yeah. Will this be Purdue's best chance for a Final Four?
Depends on how you, if you mean like how it looks prior to the season.
Yeah.
I don't know, because that team where Hummel got hurt a second time, you know, they were a Final Four caliber team before he got hurt. Now, there were depth questions on that team. I mean, that wasn't a team that was going to come into the season without questions. Hummel was coming off injury anyway. I thought the year, you know, Swanigan's sophomore year, I thought was a really good one. Now, if you look at it from the perspective of how things turned out, you know,
right,
you can't get any closer to a Final Four than they did when they lost to Virginia. So I do think, you know, Purdue does have real and important questions around this team that are going to determine what it's capable of, and that's they've got to shoot the ball better. They have to be a little bit better defensively than they were last year. I thought they overachieved all year long, and then they kind of turned into a pumpkin in the NCAA tournament when they ran into a team with athletes all over the floor and shooters all over the floor in North Texas who was able to exploit some of their vulnerabilities against the dribble. Again, I think they need a little bit more from their guard play. I think Jaden Ivey's maturation can offset that a little bit, because I think you can just put the ball in his hands when you need something more, and I think he can give it to you. But as good as this team looks on paper, I don't think they're perfect. I don't think they're without, you know, potential fatal flaw here. So it's really hard to say whether this is their best chance. It's certainly a good chance, I would have to think. I think the Big Ten season will set you up for some success here, because I think the league clears out a little bit, so it's not really the grinder, the meat grinder that it's been the last couple of years on paper. I say that every year, it feels like, and then it just kind of finds a way. But I think your schedule can prepare them well for the postseason. So a lot of stuff lining up, but there's a lot of stuff left that still has to fall into place here.
Yeah. Yeah, in the Big Ten, it sort of feels like it's Purdue, Michigan, Ohio State, maybe Maryland, maybe Indiana, and then whoosh, a drop-off, like a steeper drop-off than what we're used to after maybe those first five, and I'm not sure that I want to put Maryland or Indiana in that group yet.
Oh, I wouldn't put Indiana in there until they've shown you they belong in there.
Right.
So, no, I wouldn't put them in that top group quite yet. They're going to be relying on a lot of new guys. They have a very unproven at the college level you know, coaching staff and all that stuff. And, you know, I still think that they have some really important players who have to still show that they can be winners at this level and lead teams to success beyond just individual success. Maryland is a complete unknown to me because they're so transfer dependent. And, you know, they're not always a team either that lives up to preseason expectations for one reason or another. So I would be a little bit skeptical of all these top 10, top 12, whatever it is, rankings Maryland's getting. Ohio State took one on the chin with losing Dwayne Washington. That hurt. That is a big-time loss for them. Now, obviously, they got E.J. Liddell back, but I think Dwayne Washington was sort of the straw that stirred the drink there. I think it's Purdue and Michigan, to be honest with you. I think Hunter Dickinson's the best player in the Big Ten by a mile. And I think the Big Ten championship is ultimately going to run through him. But he's got a lot of young guys around him, too. So they're going to be really young, almost prohibitively young. And I think that's an advantage for Purdue because Purdue's going to be more experienced. So I think that it's Purdue and Michigan, and I think Purdue has a leg up there from an experience perspective. So that's kind of how I'd handicap things right now.
Let's talk a little bit of recruiting. Brian Miles Colvin committed last week. Not
we have
surprising
a lot to talk about
given
a July Monday, don't we?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
We do. It's nice. Nice to be able to do that. Sometimes these are like dead periods here where you're just waiting for football to start, especially with basketball, having this much to talk about. It's nice. Purdue got a big time commitment in Miles Colvin last week. Not surprising, but I think good to have it in the fold too. What can you tell me about Colvin? We sort of know what kind of player he is, I think, but he hasn't had maybe the hype surrounding him, perhaps, that others have had. And do you have a theory as to why that is?
Well, because nobody's seen him play.
Yeah.
I've seen him play more than anyone else, which is to say I've seen him play like maybe a half a dozen times now. And, I saw Jaden Ivey play more than anybody. I saw Fletcher Lawyer play more than anybody. And I think I've been right about them. I'm higher on him than a lot of people are because I look at him for what he's going to be in college as opposed to what he's now. What he is now is pretty good. I mean, he's a really productive player. He's a really high-level athlete. He's only 15 years old, so he's going to be, a markedly better player here in 2 years than he is right now. But he's a big-time athlete. He's 6'5". He's legitimately long. He's a big-time athlete, as I said. He's shown he can make shots. I don't know if he's as pure a shooter as some of the guys Purdue's had at the 2 and 3, but I think he's a guy who is going to be a good enough shooter at the next level to be able to hold up his end of the bargain while also being that big-time athlete on the perimeter that Purdue never has. And I think that once you settle him into a role on the wing as kind of that 3-and-D sort of guy, I think he can really help you defensively. I think he can make you a more athletic team. And I think as he gets to college and his responsibility changes, he's not that guy who has to handle the ball and score third option for his teams, I think his value comes out even more. And I just think he's a really, really high ceiling sort of prospect. As I always say, the sons of pros tend to find a way to be good. And I think he's got everything going for him from a physical perspective. I thought a couple weekends ago at the IBCA showcase was a big weekend for him because he doesn't play against the best high school competition. He doesn't play against the best competition necessarily in grassroots. But when he got on an all-star event and he played with other good players, he played with other good guards specifically, and he played against all really good players in an all-star environment, he was fantastic. He might have been the best player at that event, and there were a bunch of really good players there. I just think that, he really fits Purdue. He's exactly what they need, exactly when they need it. And I think that this was kind of a no-brainer to me. And, in a lot of different ways, I think that he was a no-brainer for Purdue. And I think this, Purdue was kind of a no-brainer for him for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. What'd you learn in Alabama?
It is really hard to get brisket. I was 0-for-3 on 3 dinners before I finally broke through and got the last brisket of the night at full moon. three nights ago. Other than that, more important topics, I think, you know, a lot of what I just said about Miles Colvin also applies to Cam and Heidi. I think he's a big wing who's more athletic than what Purdue typically has there, but he's all of 6'7". You know, looks like he's going to be 200 pounds when he gets to school. He's, you know, I don't know if he necessarily was all that consistent as a shooter this weekend, but his body of work is pretty good there, and I think he's going to be, I don't know if I'd put him in the Dakota Mathias, Ryan Klein, Sasha Stefanovic category quite yet as a shooter, but I don't think he's far off in that regard. And he's bigger and, you know, markedly more athletic than those guys. So I think, you know, Purdue's transforming at that particular position moving forward. I think you could also look at Cam and Heidi as a guy who can play the four for you in a smaller lineup, you know, small ball kind of setting, which I think there would be advantages to. And I think could conceivably make you more athletic, could maybe help him a little bit defensively too, if he has to guard quicker people out on the perimeter. But probably a guy who has to work on his ball handling a little bit, you know, will want to get a little bit quicker, you know, things like that. But is a legit 6'7", 6'6", sort of true small forward type, who's going to be an upgrade for you athletically out on the wing. The important part of all of this for Purdue moving forward is, you know, Camden Heidi and Miles Colvin have shown they can make shots. They're good shooters. But they need to keep that area of the game kind of moving in a positive direction, because I think that's always going to be an important element for Purdue moving forward offensively. But it's also just a really important part of basketball nowadays, is you got to be able to make threes. And Purdue kind of dipped a little bit shooting-wise. I think part of that is just the fact that, you know, Jaden Ivey learned the difference between good shot and bad shot. I think as the season wore on, I think Sasha Stefanovic's COVID affected his percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Eric Hunter didn't shoot the ball as well as he's capable of shooting, and two of those three things go differently on you, and you're right back where you were from a percentage perspective last year. But I think it's really important that Purdue, you know, establish itself as a consistently really good three-point shooting team. And, you know, for that to happen, I think Camden Heidi and Miles Colvin are going to loom large, because they're your future on the wing, them and Brian Waddell and Trey Kaufman-Grand. So it's really important that Purdue get really good shooting from that position, because that's what they've had. They've had Mathias, they've had Klein, they've had Stefanovic all playing that three. And, you know, between these guys coming in now, none of whom are that elite category of shooter necessarily, like Fletcher Loyer is, though he'll be a two. But I think it's really important that those guys make Purdue more athletic out there, but also don't represent any sort of regression from a shooting perspective.
All right, thanks, Brian. Get some sleep.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Tom a little bit about football, with training camp just a few weeks away. Purdue suffered a decommitment over the weekend. We'll discuss that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket cost for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0444. 0257 or email Andrew at A Hogberg. That's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit of football in July as we get set for training camp here in a few weeks. The season will be here before we know it. And unfortunately, Tom, one guy who we expected to be around, Marcus Cushnie, has decided to go to Florida State instead of Purdue. That's a loss for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, it's a big loss, buddy. I was just working on a piece for this week where I was, you know, going to kind of rank what I thought the impact of all these transfers is going to be from top to bottom, what player could have the most impact, et cetera. And Cushnie was going to be my number one guy, Kyle. I thought he was a guy that was going to impact significantly this year. Off the edge at that Leo spot, boy, Purdue's pass rush needs some help, and he was a guy that Purdue was going to count on to be that speed rusher off the edge, sort of an undersized guy. He could play a little bit of linebacker, too, I think, drop into coverage if need be. So it's a big loss, you know. These kids, you know, Kyle, in the portal, there's no letter of intent you sign to bind you to your school. So until you're really enrolled, you know, you can still be taking calls and have a change of mind and go somewhere else without any penalty as far as sitting out. So, you know, he's a Florida kid. I think Florida State was a school he always wanted to go to. Initially, they were only offering him a walk-on deal, but Mike Norvell and that staff stayed on him. Scholarship came available. Bing, bang, boom. Next thing you know, he's off to Tallahassee.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy that in this transfer age you can just change your mind. I mean, you can always do that a little bit, you know, when you're being recruited in high school. Eventually, though, you do have to sign something. Now it's just, you know, show up or don't, right?
You know, really, high school kids don't have to sign letters of intent, Kyle. There's no
yeah.
rule that requires these kids. If you're like a five-star kid, you know, you don't have you could wait and just show up on a campus in September if you wanted to. But these kids like to sign it because it also binds the school to them too. So a lot of guys like that security, so to speak. So the letter works both ways. But yeah, you're right. Just another X factor. You know, people need to keep in mind when during this transfer portal era, which we're all getting used to. You know, July 1st was the deadline for guys to enter the portal. Now there's still some guys floating around in there, but there's nobody beyond Purdue would be looking for, I would think, that could fill the void that Cushnie was going to be counted on to fill. So, you know, right now DeMarcus Mitchell is the projected number one. Leo Karloftis is the other more traditional end. I think you'll see Jack Sullivan helping on both sides of the ball. And Joe Anderson, the South Carolina transfer, he was here this spring, Kyle. I don't think he's necessarily a Leo. He's more of a traditional end. So who knows? You know, I was kind of looking at the depth chart today trying to think, well, is there a guy that they could maybe try to flip to Leo this year? Could they use Johnny Karloftis there on passing downs? Could O.C. Brothers be a guy who puts his hand on the ground, the Auburn linebacker? I'm sure the coaching staff already has their wheels spinning trying to maybe come up with solutions to Cushnie's departure.
That's the biggest issue facing the defense, right? I mean, aside from all the other stuff, new coaching staff, bunch of new players, if you're looking for one thing that Purdue needs to do better, because despite everything last year and, you know, the mess that sort of was the defense, they did do something statistically well. They stopped the run, or at least better than what Purdue had done recently. But, man, they got no pass rush. What was it, 5 sacks in 6 games, right? I mean, it was terrible. They've got to be better.
2 years. Yeah, 2 years in a row, I think. And I know Mark Hagan, you know, we all like to see higher sack totals. And that's an obvious, you know, showing that your pass rush is better. But also just getting pressure, making quarterbacks uncomfortable, getting hits on quarterbacks. Those are the type of things that need to increase as well. Just big plays in general. You're right. Some of the numbers last year, weren't an abomination. But again, there's always those areas that have been hyped on and harped on this whole offseason. You talked about one of them being the pass rush needed to improve. I talked about big plays. When I say big plays, I'm talking about generating more turnovers as well. I think that has to happen. And then getting off the field on third downs, you know, ending drives, not letting teams keep that ball and convert in third downs into first downs. And again, we hear the word aggressiveness preached time and again this offseason. They're going to take chances, my friend. This is going to be a defense that's not going to read and react and sit back and be a passive. They're going to get after people with blitzes and stunts. Yes, they're going to give up some big plays in the process, Kyle, but I think the hope is that they make more big plays than they allow.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see a defense play a little bit more with that style, sort of matched what the offense was trying to do. It just was not a good match last year in a lot of reasons, and hopefully will be better this year. All right, Tom, thank you. We'll get more into football, I'm sure, next week as the Big Ten media days right around the corner and then start a training camp. Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast that's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft, comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Much more on the site at goldandblack.com, including more basketball recruiting for Bryant's trip to Alabama. Be sure to check that out. And Tom's work as we get set for the start of the football season. All right, that'll do it for this podcast. So thanks to our sponsors. And for Brian Dubert and Tom Dienhardt, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.